Sports Authority, Sports Radio 730 The Ump presents The Griff Show with Scott Griffin. Call now, 1-866-485-WUMP. That's 1-866-485-9867. Now kicking your afternoon drive into high gear. Here's Griff.
I don't know the time on the clock, but I thought when Frankie got that good look against their press right in front of our bench, he missed it. I think that the game was tied at that point. And then they come down and Lacey buries that three at the top of the key. I thought that was the turning point in the game.
That is Tony Barbee, the coach of Auburn. Trevor Lacey out of Butler High School in Huntsville. Yeah, he did have a big moment in the basketball game last night. I was surprised he was going to play. You heard Anthony Grant talk to us at the high school championship saying he probably wasn't going to play, but indeed he did and looked pretty good moving around and hit the big three for Alabama. They didn't have a lot of shots, I tell you that. 14 made threes for, excuse me, made baskets, not threes, baskets. 14 made baskets for Alabama, that's it. They shoot 31% from the floor. And they win a basketball game at home, 55-49. Amazing. And Trevor Lacey was the hottest shooter, if you can call it hot. 2 out of 5, 2 for 3 behind the arc, though. 4 for 4 from the free throw line. He did a great job late in the game, besides the threes, driving the ball and getting fouled, as did a lot of Alabama guys. And that's what enabled them to win the game over Auburn. Lacey, 10 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 steals in 24 minutes. Again, 2 threes, a perfect 4 for 4 from the free throw line, and a huge three, as you heard, once Frankie Sullivan missed a shot, and he was kind of open on it. He had shaken Ben Eblen with just 7, 8, 9 minutes to go in the game and got a good look, missed it, and then Lacey on the other end buries about a 23-footer high-arcing, sky-tickling shot. And that was it. That kind of did it right then. Jamichael Green led Alabama with 15 points, 10 rebounds. He only had 2 points at the half. 2 points. 13 in the second half, 10 rebounds in his final home game for the Tide. Alabama with some balanced scoring, but that doesn't mean everybody was playing well. Trevor Relaford, 6 points. Levi Randolph, of course, from Bob Jones, 7 points. His normal stat-filling night. 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, only 1 turnover. 3 for 4 from the free throw line. Rodney Cooper, 7 points, 4 rebounds. Andrew Steele, 4 points, 6 rebounds. And I thought Anthony Grant did a nice job lengthening his bench again. The most minutes, Jamichael Green, 33. Randolph with 30. Relaford, 25. Cooper, 24. Steele, 27. Lacey, 24. Ben Eblen was critical in the game with 12 points. Not many stats, but he had ball movement, and he had some great ball pressure defensively. And Anthony Grant talks about that. We'll have that on a little bit later on. Nick Jacobs, 18 minutes as well, got 5 points, 3 rebounds. So good balance there. 8 guys getting 18 minutes or more in the game. Meanwhile, Auburn's Kenny Gabriel, solid, 10 points, 11 rebounds in 35 minutes. But that was it for Auburn. Rob Chubb, only 4 points. Frankie Sullivan, 9 points, only 4 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 8 behind the arc. Auburn could not shoot behind the arc. Noel Johnson did hit 3 of 6 behind the arc, but only one other, Frankie Sullivan, as the Tigers go 4 for 21 behind the three-point arc. So nobody else in double figures for the Auburn Tigers, and only one even got there with the 10 points by Kenny Gabriel. Free throws were the key. Alabama got to the free throw line many times. The fouls were about even. Auburn had 20 fouls, Alabama 16. But the fouls in the act of shooting is what hurt. Alabama with 32 free throw attempts, Auburn with only 12, and Auburn only hit 5 of the 12. Alabama hitting 24, so a 19-point differential in made free throws, but not a massive foul differential, just Auburn fouled in the act of shooting several times, whereas Alabama did not have that issue there at all. So the Tide now 20-9, 9-6 in the SEC. So suddenly you assure yourself of not finishing 500 in the league either, which looks good on Selection Sunday. Even if you lose on the road to Ole Miss, you're 9-7. So, you know, if you lose that game and then lose Ole Miss, obviously it's 8-8. So besides that, the 20 wins and not being 500 in the league really helps Alabama. Auburn falls to 14-15, 4-11 in the SEC. We'll take your calls and comments on the game. I'm sure you watched it as well. Ugly game. It was an MMA fight on the basketball court. It was just guys slamming each other, body slamming, swings and misses, some connections. It was an ugly fight. Well, let's say good afternoon to our producer emeritus, the man that makes it happen in the Rocket City, Jason Marks. Did you have a chance to peruse the game at all?
I got to watch a little bit of it, but you using your MMA analogy, the first thought in my head is that you were going to say that they were just rolling around hugging each other like an MMA fight.
Well, it was probably some of that, too. It was all the above is what it was, on that deal. But interesting game. I mean, it was interesting from the standpoint it was in doubt for both sides virtually the entire way until the last 30-40 seconds.
Well, you could
when
say
Alabama hit free throws.
Yeah, you could say it was an ugly game, but probably wasn't as ugly as last year's meeting at Coleman Coliseum that probably set the game of basketball back about 50 years.
It was close. I mean, you think about it, Alabama had 14 field goals. That's it. 14. Auburn had 20. So Auburn had 6 more field goals than Alabama and lost the game. 14 field goals. I mean, Relaford 1-for-6, Levi 2-for-6, Andrew Steele 1-for-4, Hankerson 0-for-2, Jacobs 1-for-3, Jermichael Green 4-for-11. Just not good.
I don't have the stats right off the top of my head. Maybe you do. This is kind of on the fly, a little curveball for you. But what was the free throw percentage or the free throw stats for Auburn? Was it 50%? Because
oh, no, that's what I told you. Yeah, I just said a minute ago, 5 of 12. Not even 50%. But the big thing is the attempts. Auburn had only 12 attempts. Alabama had 32 attempts at the free throw line.
Yeah, usually the Achilles heel for Auburn, it's been the last couple of years, is for some reason they cannot hit free throws to save their life.
Well, and Chris Denson was the biggest culprit. Only 3 guys even went to the line for them. Denson was only 1 of 6, you know. Gabriel and Chubb were 2 for 3. You know, that's decent. But they just didn't get to the line, whereas Alabama, you know, the made free throws were the key. Alabama made 24. Auburn made 5.
Yeah.
And loses by 6. I mean, there you go. There's the key.
Well, and part of it, you talk about the lack of free throw attempts by Auburn. But then again, don't you kind of expect that when you are the road team?
No, yeah, but not that big a differential. No question you always expect more fouls, and the home team likely is going to have more free throw attempts, but not 20. You don't count on that. You know, there wasn't any excessive turnovers. Auburn had 12. That's not horrible. They had 7 block shots. They did great there. Alabama only had 1. Alabama was 6 steals. They averaged 7. That was normal. But it's really the free throw differential and 2 teams playing pretty good defense where, you know, there just wasn't a lot of easy looks, you know. I mean, Auburn shot 45% in the second half, and they lose because of free throws. Alabama did a good job getting to the line late in that game. And like we said, Jermichael Green, 2 points, 4 rebounds at the half, ends up with 15-10. So he kind of caught fire, and he had a huge tip-in. Besides the Lacy 3, he had a huge tip-in with about 40-some-odd seconds. I have the game sheet here. 47 seconds or so left, he had an amazing tip-in to really ice it for Alabama with the 20, 30 seconds to go. So big win for Alabama. And Auburn can feel good that they played hard. I mean, they came in and battled the Tide and played hard, very much unlike what they did February 7th when they kind of laid over like dogs. And Tony Barbie said as much after the game, you know, and I think they were ready. They responded to playing Alabama. Tough, you know, and Alabama's hot. So, well, we've got more from Grant and Barbie and Frankie Sullivan and some of the others, Jamichael Green, as we go throughout the show. By the way, it was Green's 25th double-double in his career. So fittingly, he ends that at Coleman Coliseum there. 14,253 fans on hand for that. And, of course, at the half, they do the, what's it called, the OBK? Is that right? The OBK?
The ODK.
ODK, right. Trophy, you know, back and forth. It's gone back and forth three times the last 3 years, I think. And Alabama got that back. Nick Saban out there for the presentation. Also, I thought it was interesting that for you recruiting freaks, and we'll talk to Andrew Bone about it, you know, less than an hour from now. Reggie Ragland from Bob Jones was there. And then also, and his name escapes me now, the number one recruit this year for 2013. Was there, along with Robert Kimdichie, another hype. So the top two players in America were there. Isn't that weird for a Thursday night basketball game where they happen to get that goofy trophy? Robert Kimdichie and then Reuben Foster is a kid's name, I think, were there. The top two players are both from Georgia. Last night, and then Reggie Ragland, of course, there, but he's already committed. He's already signed for this year coming up. So thought that was very interesting to see last night. We got all kind of things to talk about today. We're going to have Wes Bunting on from the National Football Post on the scouting combine. He covered that a ton, so he was there the entire time. We'll have him on as well. A lot of open phone lines, as usual, 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP to get in. On the Griff Show, as is per usual, on this warm day. I mean, you got shorts on back there?
I do not, actually. I'm still in jeans.
I mean, it's warm enough, though, isn't it? You could throw some shorts on and be all right today. Mid-70s, very warm, which I guess is a good thing. I kind of like a little bit of cold, but I guess it's not happening for us, and we're getting so late in the year now that it's probably not going to happen. Some people are rejoicing from that, so there you go. 866-485-9867 to get in on the Griff Show. What else is going on headline-wise? We're going to talk about baseball, too, today, and maybe get a guest on tomorrow to talk about it, because baseball is going to 10 teams. I've always thought that we need more baseball playoffs. They were so compelling last year. And a lot of purists don't like it, you know. But they are going to 10 teams. So we'll talk about that as the and get your thoughts on that. That's going to be very interesting. Because that may be too many now. They may have overdone it right there.
It is too many.
I think so, too. I mean, they should just gradually, you know. Don't you think? Just gradually added some.
It would be almost like expanding the tournament to 128 teams. You know why they do it. They're doing it for the money and the television contracts, because more games are going to bring in more revenue.
Well, of course, but I mean, the season is so freaking long.
That is true. I agree.
And now, instead of adding just two more teams, we add how many? Six on each. I guess it's 10 total. So we add three more on each side. That's a whole other series or two.
Yep.
You know, unless they make it shorter like the initial one's best of five, surely I guess the first ones will stay best of five. But anyway, I don't think they know yet.
Well, even though, one more thing before we get to Michael.
Yeah.
One more thing is they're talking about eliminating the divisions and just basically making it the top teams from the American League and the National League going in, because you always hear this argument, you know, the NL Central's bad and the 81 team is going to get to go to the playoffs, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but that's the way it is in every sport. I don't think they should do that. And let's be honest, once you get past the division winners, then you do take the best teams, right? So I think they should do that, have the division winners, and then if two more are from the American League East, if it's the Rays and Red Sox behind the Yankees having the next two, well, then they're in, is the way they should do it. But I think if you get away with the divisions, I don't know. Every other sport has the divisional winners in there, NBA and NFL. There's probably valid arguments about that. Let's go to Michael in Huntsville real quick, and then we'll take our first break of the day. Michael, how are you, sir?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I'll just going to touch on the Alabama-Auburn game a little bit from last night.
Yeah.
More about Anthony Grant more than anything. 2 weeks ago, this Alabama team didn't look like a tournament contender. I mean, they looked like they were lost in the water. And I just really think Anthony Grant deserves all the credit in the world, and even a Coach of the Year ballot vote, in my opinion. And just the way this Alabama team has responded from the suspensions and everything, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I mean, weird you say that, because we did one of our overtimes that Jason and I and Joe Hunk and Scott Tyson do that we played during the day. One of mine was on that. John Calipari is a very easy Coach of the Year candidate with what he's done with his team. But why would you not put Anthony Grant in there getting votes? Like you said, with what he's done, having this team in the NCAA tournament with suspensions, while maintaining suspensions and all that, and having this team peak at the right time, is certainly worthy of Coach of the Year, I think. And if Calipari weren't running off with the looks like it's going to be the national championship, Anthony Grant probably would be getting, winning at least the SEC Coach of the Year. But the shame is he's doing it in a year where Kentucky's fantastic.
Right. And I don't know if you caught this watching the game last night or not, but after Alabama beat Auburn, Anthony Grant was caught on camera flashing the five fingers for the five times in a row beating Auburn's basketball team.
He did? He really downplayed. Now, I didn't see that because it was mayhem on the court, although the media row where I was sitting is where he leaves to go to the locker room. But he really downplayed it, and I'll play it for you a little bit later on when I find my cut here. He really downplayed the five in a row in the post-game media deal. That's interesting that you say that he did that on the court, because that was very anti what he displayed in the media gathering afterwards.
Well, I think after he was seen doing it, I think he downplayed it a lot more. But after ESPN caught him, and it's on ESPN's website now. If you go to the Tide Nation website, it's got a little video of him flashing the five fingers. But I just thought that was interesting.
Wow. Okay, and it's TideNation.com?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. All right, yeah, we'll check that out. Yeah, that is interesting because I'll play the cut. It was one of the most boring cuts of the night. I wasn't going to play it until you brought it up, but it was real, I don't get into that, two teams battling hard kind of thing. So very interesting. Good stuff. Thank you, Michael. 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP. By the way, what is the going rate for a solid-hitting catcher that has a gun for an arm? How about 5 years, $75 million? We'll get into that when we get back as well. This is The Griff Show, 23 after the hour. Come on back, folks. We've got a whole 2.5 hours left of the program.
The Griff Show.
Very physical, maybe the most in our league.
Well, obviously, tough game. Give Auburn credit. I thought they came in and did a great job tonight from a defensive standpoint. Really took away a lot of the things that we've been able to have success with, but proud of our guys for the way they persevered. The second half, we were able to grind it out, got ourselves to the free throw line. The guys did a great job converting. And I thought at the end of the game, we had guys step up and really make the plays that you have to make to win games like this. So just proud of the effort.
That is Anthony Grant from last night. We were down there covering the Bama-Auburn game for you, the fans listening in. We appreciate you turning on The Griff Show, 866-485-9867. Already, our man Dale Jackson, who does the fabulous Dale Jackson Show on VNN, our sister station, is tweeting about us saying, at The Griff Show, at On the Marks Radio, are you crazy? More playoffs is better. Is March Madness bad because of too many playoff teams?
And I've already responded to that.
Yeah.
I basically said,
you know what? But he's right. I mean, no, I agree. I miscounted. We already have eight. I was thinking in one league, 10 in one league and 10 in the other. So we already have eight. We already have the four, and then we have four in the other league. So really we're only adding a wild card playoff here. So I don't have a huge problem with that. The only thing, though, the only thing is, if you had had it last year, the Braves and the Red Sox would have been in, and you would not have had the unbelievable drama for the last game of the year to come around. Maybe the wackiest, craziest, most compelling day in baseball history, as far as just winning, losing, being in the playoffs. Last year's last game. If you have this current thought from the Major League Baseball and the Players Association, then we don't have that drama from last year. So I don't really like that. And it's hard to have drama in game 162. That's not going to be the norm.
Well, I think your point's very valid, but I've never been a fan of expanding the postseason, because think about it. Dale makes the point about March Madness. There are 300 teams in Division I basketball right now. 64 is enough. You have your conference champions and the mid-majors.
There's actually 65.
I miscounted. There's actually 68 because they added.
Yeah, you're right. 68.
Yeah,
they
added 68. So there's 68 to 300. I mean, you have the best of the best. In Major League Baseball, there's how many teams right now? 30 to 32 teams in the major leagues right now. You're almost got a third of the league that's going to be in the postseason. I've never been a fan of expanding playoffs whatsoever. When they talked about expanding the tournament to 128, I said absolutely not. What you're basically doing is you're giving a consolation trophy to the kid that's not athletic and sucks at sports.
Well, I mean, and a third's not too bad. We'd have to do the percentages on the other leagues. The NFL has, what, six in each league, right? The top two seeds sit, and then four play in both leagues. So that's 12 out of, I'd have to count up all the teams. Is it 28 in the NFL? I don't know. I can't keep up. But we'd have to do the percentages. But I don't really have a problem with a third of the teams. And I don't have a major problem with them adding this. The only thing, again, as I say, it would have made last year kind of nothing. But they haven't said how they would do it. Just the fourth and fifth seeds in each league, the wild card teams, would be in a playoff. The division winners would get a bye. Sounds good. Now, and maybe it should be a three-game deal instead of five. But I'm sure they'll make it five for the point you made earlier that five gives you a few more games, you know, a few more spots to sell, a few more everything. So, and anyway, David Ortiz, well, now they're saying David Ortiz, are they just talking about one-game playoff? Now I'm confused because I've got quotes here where guys are saying it's hard to pack for one game, blah, blah, blah. I mean, sure, they're talking at least about a three-game series.
Now, I think I was looking around for it myself, and a caller's informed me that Ken Rosenthal with MLB on Fox was talking about the two wildcard teams having a one-game playoff. With that in mind, I actually kind of like that because maybe it will stir up some drama for them to get into the play-in game, and then you have the drama of the one-game series. To be honest with you, I've kind of flipped a little bit. I kind of like that scenario.
I don't like it because one game, anything can happen. A true test, if you're going to add teams, a true test would be at least three games to find out who the best team is.
Well, same argument for March Madness, though? One game, anything can happen.
Yeah, but that's two different sports. They can't possibly play 68 teams play three-game playoffs. They'd be playing till next season. So that's a totally different thing. Totally different. You know, you're right. There is some coolness to the sudden death aspect of it. But you're not really getting, you know, let's say the season ends, and because of the weather in the major leagues, one team's got to throw their fifth starter, the other one gets to throw their ace. Well, how fair is that? You know, Verlander is on the wild card, and they got to throw against a 22-year-old rookie who's not shaving yet because that's the way the rotation fell, and we got to do it real quickly after the regular season You see what I mean? Then you start getting into, well, it's not that good. How many people are really going to watch that? Not many. So you better make it at least a three-game playoff. And I think that's the way they'll end up going, hopefully. But I'll give you that. There is like kind of a coolness to the one-game deal.
People like drama.
But I think in a sport like baseball, again, it's not the same as football and basketball. You have different pitchers throwing every day. And you have your aces and all that. And don't you want, in the playoffs, your best teams to have the chance to win? You know, so you know, excuse me, a team should be able to throw at least somebody pretty decently. And in the three-game series, you're going to be able to do that. Let's go to Matt in Huntsville as we're talking about this. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. I was choking there for a minute, but now we're okay.
We'll keep it together, Griff.
I was choking over the baseball playoffs.
You can even hear the ice bouncing around the glass.
Well, to your point about the baseball playoffs and having the best teams throwing the best guys, I think that the one-game playoffs for the wild card really accomplishes that, because you're going to have that team do everything that they can, that wild card team, do everything that they can to get to the next round to face one of the division winners. And you've got the three teams that have won their divisions that have battled all year long to hold those spots, and they deserve that advantage. They deserve to be able to throw their ace if they want to against the number five guy for the wild.
No, but we're talking about the if they do a one-game playoff for the expanded thing. So forget the three division winners. They're sitting there waiting, okay? And then you've got the two wild cards playing each other in a one-game thing. I just don't think that's fair, because in baseball, you're not the same team every day. In basketball and football, you are. But in baseball, you're not the same team. The Tigers aren't the same when Verlander's throwing and then their fourth guy's throwing. They're not the same team, right? So wouldn't
right.
you want your best representative of the team? But if you end, and let's say the Tigers are 10 games better than, I don't know, name some other team, than the Mariners, okay? The Tigers finished 10 to 12 games better than the Mariners, but they had to throw Verlander just because the rotation landed that way on the last day, and the Mariners didn't. So now you're going to have the Tigers being 10 to 15 games better than the Mariners in the regular season, and you're going to have a one-game playoff, and they can't throw their best guy? I don't think that's right.
Well,
that makes sense?
To that point, though, you've got the wild card teams have the same 162 games to win their division. And if they're not able to win their division, even if it is a stronger division, like the AL East or the AL West this year, you know, they have the same opportunity to just lock up the division as anybody else does. So even if it is a one-game playoff for the wild card, they still have the same opportunities as the Yankees or the Red Sox or...
No, no question. I agree with that over the course of a season. However, with your argument, then let's just do away with all the seven-game series and just have a series of one-game series. Would that be right?
Oh, not at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why is it okay in the first one, but not okay only because they're division winners? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Getting back to Jason's point, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying you're wrong. But getting back to Jason's point, let's say the Red Sox are the second-place team and one of the wild cards, and they're 95-67. Yet the Central Division winners, the Tigers, are 88 and what would that be, 74. So the Tigers get to rest, and then the Red Sox have to go in a one-game series where even their ace may not be able to throw. I just think that's not really to the spirit of finding the best team in baseball to me. Only because every team is different. I think you would agree with that. Every team is different every day because of the starting pitching, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And even getting into the bullpen, you know, if you tack the bullpen one day, you don't have your best guys going the next day at the back end of your games, you're going to have a different looking team. But,
yeah,
you know, if a Red Sox team wins 95 games, they should be able to have enough in the tank, even if they have to throw their ace.
Well, they're not going to throw their ace, though. But see, you keep saying that. But if Josh, let's say Josh Beckett's their ace, right? Let's say he had to pitch the last game. They have one day off. They're not going to throw him 2 days later. They're not going to
right.
do that.
But they should have enough rotation depth if they've won 95 games that they should be able to throw whoever the next guy is and still have a better team out on the field than whoever they're playing. If they've won that many more games, then, like you said, the Tigers, they should be able to still get through that.
I don't know. But, again, with your argument, then why don't we shorten all of them? And to be honest with you, I wouldn't even really be against shorting 7 games to 5 games. I think that would add something, you know?
And
it gives it a little bit more. Of course, now, I say that, then I think about that compelling series we had last year. That was unbelievable. So, you know, there's always going to be another side to the argument, I guess, you know?
And myself, personally, I think adding another wild card team is a great thing. And I personally would prefer if it was a 3-game series instead of a 1-game series because, like you said, you can roll the dice. The Pirates are going to beat somebody, you know, 1 game out of 3.
Oh, sure. Anything can happen, right? Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're right. It would be a more of an accurate
portrayal
of who the actual fourth best team was.
No question about it.
You ran them 3 games. But I'm happy with 1 game. I think that's a step in the right direction, and maybe this year they'll do 1. Maybe next year they'll up to 3.
Well, they haven't decided yet, so I guess we're helping them decide. But good stuff, Matt. Thank you. That's a great conversation. Let's go to Nick in Huntsville. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's just interesting to banter about. Nick, what do you think?
Griff, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good, man. Listen, the first thing that they need to do, Griff, is they need to subtract about 40 games from the season, okay? This 160-something games. And then they wonder why, Griff, that they're not relevant and nobody's watching them on TV because the games don't mean anything. They're 5.5 hours long, okay? There's so many of them that it's taken away from why. And I hate it, too, Griff, because I grew up playing baseball. Everybody I knew grew up playing baseball. The kids now, they're not growing up, and they're not watching baseball. It seems like they're stuck in a different – everybody's moving forward but them. You know, and like Jason said earlier, I don't agree with adding all these games, playoff games, man, because it's like a consolation prize. You know what I'm saying? And I really wanted to call, Griff.
First of all, let's stop at that point. I agree with you. I think it's way too long. But there is no way, with the salaries they're playing, that they're not playing these games. They have to play the games to make the money, to get the local television revenue, the national television revenue, the concessions, the marketing, all the crap they make money on, to pay Albert Pujols $274 million. So shortening the season's not happening. I wish it were, too, but it's not happening.
Right, I understand that completely. I know it's not happening, but that's what they need to do because nobody's sitting up at night anymore like you used to, Griff, and watching and watching the baseball game. Nobody's
right.
Doing
June is not compelling with 162 games. You're right. I mean, unless it's the Yankees, Sox, and whoever. But
and these playoffs. I wanted to talk too, Griff. I'm sorry. I'm going to change the subject for just a minute.
Okay.
I wanted to talk too, Griff. I've been thinking about this playoff deal with college football, and I like the 4-game playoff. Okay, that's okay. But when we start talking about this 8 and 16, you name me one time, Griff, one time, where you've looked at the BCS poll at the end of the year, the final BCS poll, and said to yourself, yeah, number 8. They could have beat number one. It doesn't work like that in football. It's not like that in football. Okay, Stanford is number 8. They finalized at number 8 in the BCS. They're not beating Alabama. I mean, who are we kidding? And I don't care who they got.
I don't think that's a complete joke matchup, though.
No, but
you think Stanford Alabama last year would have just been a complete joke?
Griff, you and I both know that Stanford is not beating Alabama. Not this year. Not last year. Okay? Andrew Luck's a great quarterback. They have no defense, and they have no speed at wide receivers. None. No speed. Alabama would have smothered them. They're not used to playing no defenses like that in the SEC.
Boise State beat Oklahoma. Utah beat Alabama.
I understand.
It can happen in one game. We're back to our original argument where in one game anything could happen. You know?
Right, I understand that. Yeah. But I mean, how many times have you looked at the poll and really think, do you really think that there would be anybody else in the country that would have beat Alabama that night?
Not that night, but I mean, now we're theorizing about things. I mean, I'm not sure an NFL team would have beaten them that night offensively.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, I don't know. That's hard to speculate on. Eight teams might be much, but I think you can add a few more teams, but there's always going to be arguments, just like we're arguing now. I mean, if they went to eight teams, there would be a ninth team one year that would go, hey, what about us? It's just the way it is. Look at the arguments now for 65 in March Madness, 66, 68, whatever it is today. I mean, the argument's always going to be there. Hey, we should have made it.
Now that you bring that up, Griff, I'm like you, man. I watched that game last night. I'm an Alabama fan. I watched that game, but they better play better than that. They better play a whole lot better than what I'm seeing right now, or they'll get hammered in the first round if they even make the NCAA tournament. You can't keep scoring 50 points in a game and think that you're going to win the ball game.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it, but they just don't have that team. That's more representative of what they have than what they don't. And we're way over. Let's go to Joe in Huntsville, though, and we may just call our guest here in a minute and get him on and just make up the spots here in a moment because this conversation is going nuts. Joe, how are you?
Hey, good.
How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, first of all, I mean, I never would have guessed that last caller was an Alabama fan. But anyway, on the baseball deal, they talk about trying to get, find out who the best team is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like the past 4 or 5 years, it basically comes down to who's been hot the last couple weeks of the season. I mean, you can go win 95, 98 games, which is great, then you get in the postseason, and, you've seen it happen, with the Yankees, with the Tigers, Red Sox, so I don't think that one playing game, I think it's just irrelevant. I think it's just a waste to...
It's not a true gauge. And when you think about it, let's just look to last year. You remember what happened to the Cardinals the very first of the year? Adam Wainwright, their leader, their ace, went out with Tommy John surgery. Who would have thought that team would win the World Series with their ace going out and not pitching a game? That's crazy.
Exactly.
But you're right that they were resilient only because they got to play games. If it had been one game, they might not have made it.
Exactly. And also too, I do agree that the season's. I love baseball. But I do agree the season is a tad bit long. I think I've said this before on your program, but baseball has an opportunity to actually to pretty much dominate the late month of August, early part of September. I mean, right before football season starting up, there's nothing going on, but they wait until they get into the, part of college football season, and it just, college football basically, that and the NFL has basically dominated, American sports here lately, and I just think baseball has just gotten to the point where, it's not nearly as popular as it once was because it just gets overshadowed by all the other, events that are going on. They could shorten the season, have it, in late August, have it wrap up late August, September, and they would probably get more viewers because during that time there's really not a whole lot sports wise is going on,
right. Yeah, no question about it. I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think, surely a one game playoff will not be the way they go for baseball. For any other sports, understandable, but for baseball,
They're just trying to make a buzz. You know, they're just, you know, college football, they're, the big talk is...
Yeah, but don't you think that you go three, that they go three, they make more money and they make more of a buzz, right?
Correct, yeah. They're just trying to, you know... I mean, you know, everyone's talking college football in February or 1st of March, you know, and it should be baseball talk, but...
Yeah.
You know, college football still dominating the airwaves, and they're just trying to, you know, other than Ryan Braun, you know, there's, you know, a couple of trades in the offseason, but other than that, it's just the same old, you know, they, you know, 4-hour, 5-hour games. You can't afford to take your kids to a Huntsville Stars game, let alone a professional game. So I just think they're just losing touch with the, you know, average blue collar guy, and they're just trying to just cause, you know.
So what you're saying, more is not necessarily better.
No.
Basically, no. More is not necessarily better. Right. I agree with that.
No. Correct.
I agree with that. Okay, all right. Good stuff. Up. Let's go to Jason in New Hope. Jason, how are you?
Hi, Griff. Good show, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I like the one game playoff because I feel like, you know, the last few years they've had the game 163. And they're just trying to manufacture that in a way because those games have been really good.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's a great point. Maybe that's part of their thinking. They thought, wow, that was so unbelievable last year, that last day. Let's get that back. But again, I just think this sport, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, with the way it's set up with pitching staffs, it's really not a fair deal to me now. I mean, it is, as I pointed out to Jason, it is kind of cool that you have a sudden death kind of thing, but unless both staffs are equal or you gave them 5 or 6 days off where they could throw anybody they want, then that would be cool. But I don't think baseball is going to add another week to the season of no games to give these guys 5 days rest so that their ace can throw. Now, if they did that, I probably would think the one-game playoff would be cool, but I don't think they're doing that.
Yeah, but I think it kind of makes the divisions mean more. It might make those end-of-the-year races a little better because you don't want to be in that one game if you can help it. And, you know, like you got the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays who will probably want to win the division. The other two are going to be in that game this year. That's what I would think. So
yeah.
They're going to do everything they can to avoid it. So it might make the end of the year a little better.
Yeah, you're right. It might. I just think unless there's a way you can guarantee both teams are at full strength, meaning their best against their best pitching-wise, then to me it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. Because even now with a five-game series, there's somewhat of a disadvantage because let's say – you're number one through on the last day, and the other team's number four through. Well, and you know, then you wait 2 days before you start the series. Well, team B can throw their number one, while team A can't throw their number one because he just threw. You know, but at least you have five games to make that more equitable. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. It just seems kind of going against, it's almost to me like college football, the football overtime rules. I think that's the most stupid, asinine way to end a game that you can imagine. You play the game,
yeah.
It's a beautiful game the whole time, and then if you go into overtime, instead of continuing playing the game like the NFL does, we all of a sudden do pinball. We have guys at the 20 where there's automatic field goals and they score. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the same game. And I think baseball would be made that mistake, too, if it's a one-game deal. It's not the same deal, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely don't like the college overtime.
Yeah. It's it's like high school. You know what I mean? Come on.
And so. I also had one more point, and I'll get off. To the guy earlier who said number 18 couldn't beat a number one team, there's some people that still think, and even though I'm an Alabama fan, I'm trying not to be biased, but that team 2 years ago could have beat anybody. They just, you know, stumbled three games during the season, but you've seen what they did in Michigan State that year. They could have beat anybody.
Yeah.
And that was
I agree with you. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, buddy. Thank you for your call.
All right, thanks.
We appreciate it. It's Jason in New Hope, 866-485-9867. We're way over. We're going to catch up on some biz and come back. Open phone lines. Got some recruiting next hour. We'll get back into the baseball. It's a good conversation because, again, I don't think there's a right or wrong. I just something bothers me about the one game. Something's exciting about it, but something bothers me about it for that sport. 866-485-9867. This is The Grip Show.
The Grip Show.
This is a special alert to all taxpayers. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from people who owe back taxes. If you owe back taxes to the state or IRS, you're now eligible to settle that debt for pennies on the dollar. For free information, call One Step Tax Relief at 1-800-261-9153. Millions of taxpayers are now legally eligible to settle their tax liabilities for a fraction of what they owe. But few are aware of this opportunity, leaving them at a risk for wage garnishment, bank levies, penalty fees, and property seizure. One Step Tax Relief specializes in tax settlement, matching you with an expert who will negotiate a settlement directly with the IRS. Many of these experts are former IRS agents with an inside knowledge of the system that makes a substantial difference in resolving your debt. For free information, call 1-800-261-9153. If you owe state or federal taxes, you could save thousands of dollars. Call One Step Tax Relief today for your free information. 1-800-261-9153. That's 1-800-261-9153.
This Friday morning at 9 on Taste of the Valley, log on and get your half-price gift certificates from Skydive Alabama. Based out of Cullman, Skydive Alabama is offering half-price tandem jumps, normally $219. Now you can skydive with a certified instructor over beautiful Alabama for only $110. Tell all your friends and family and make this a memory you will never forget. This Friday morning at 9, log on and get your half-price gift certificates for a tandem jump with Skydive Alabama from Taste of the Valley.
An ounce of prevention, 5 quarts of oil, another 5,000 miles. However you measure car care, get more at Midas. For just $19.99, Midas will change your oil, rotate your tires, and check your brakes. All just $19.99. A small price to help keep your car running longer. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Sports Radio 730, The Ump Weather.
Increasing cloudiness tonight with scattered late-night showers and the chance for overnight thunderstorms. The overnight low in Huntsville will be around 60. And then tomorrow, a few showers and thunderstorms are possible in the morning with some strong storms, and then showers and storms in the afternoon and tomorrow night, and severe storms are possible. The high tomorrow, 78. For the weekend, partly cloudy and cooler with highs in the upper 50s. In the UMP Weather Center, I'm Marty Broman.
From the First Family Mortgage 1FMC.com studios, you're listening to ESPN Radio on 730 The UMP and 103.9 FM.
It was 20 minutes left in the game, so it was at the get refocused and come out with a lot more energy. And I think that what we did on defense and got stops.
All right, that is Jamichael Green, who had 2 points and 4 rebounds at the half and ended up with 15 points, 10 rebounds as the Alabama men beat Auburn last night, 55-49. We've been talking about that. We've been covering the game for you down there last night in Tuscaloosa, so we got all those interviews for you as well. Talk a little baseball here, too. We'll continue that as the show goes. We will talk a little recruiting at the top of the hour, next hour, and then we'll get back to baseball if you like. Some basketball, though. Lee Huntsville, the 5A boys. Lee of Huntsville's in the championship game. They scored the first 10 points of the game, opened the second half on 11-0 run, and they survive a late rally by Faith Academy, but they win it 67-53. So Lee of Huntsville is in the championship game. They end Faith Academy's 8-game win streak. They get a rematch with Winona in the title game. It was Winona and Lee last year, Winona winning it. But that's what happened. Patty McLean led Faith with 20 points and 19 rebounds. I do not have the leaders for Huntsville Lee on my information as of yet. Also, right now, McIntosh leading Holy Spirit 18-12. Now, also, the Brewer girls winning over Faith Academy 50-45. They're, of course, in our area here. So Brewer upset top-ranked Faith Academy, their second championship appearance in the last 4 years. They were number five coming in. They'll take on number nine Valley, which beat second-ranked Centerpoint. So two teams that probably shouldn't have been there will be there in the championship. Brewer, 31-3, and then Valley will be in the championship of the 5A girls, which will be coming up later on in the week. Hour number one of the books, a good one. We'll come back with more. Andrew Bone, talking recruiting, coming up next on The Griff Show. Don't go anywhere.